So we have come to the last session of this seminar, beautiful seminar. I'm sure we all of us have enjoyed these days together discussing different aspects of life. We have come to the last topic, which is entitled Spiritual Perspective. Spiritual as distinguished from moral. Spiritual as distinguished from religious. We are not talking of a religious perspective, nor of a moral perspective, but spiritual perspective. And we have discussed what spiritual is. In the spiritual perspective, the fundamental factor is that the I, the self, the ego disappears. The disappearance of the ego, that is the basic fact so far as spiritual perspective is concerned. And we have been trying to emphasize this point all these days. We come to the end, and I do not think there can be any better ending than to turn to the couplets, to the sayings of Kabir, because he summed up the whole problem of spiritual perspectives. In fact, there is a great similarity between Krishnamurti, whom some of us had known, one of the most vital thinkers of our age, and Kabir. If you are interested, we have written this book, just published. It's absolutely hot from the press. I do not have any other copy, but this is the book entitled J. Krishnamurti and Sant Kabir. Sant means Saint Kabir. The subtitle is A Study in Death. You will find much more than what we are going to talk this afternoon so far as Kabir is concerned. But today we will have just a little hint, little indication as to what was the spiritual message of this particular individual. You would like to know who Kabir was, because Kabir was a very ordinary man. He was born in Varanasi, from where we come. The city from where we come, Varanasi. He was born there. He was born 500 years ago. He must have been born in a poor family. He was born in a Hindu family. But the Hindu family must have been very poor. And therefore, it did not have the means to bring up this child, Kabir. And so this child, Kabir, was left near the bank of a lake, which is still there in Banaras. At the bank of the lake, this child was left by the parents. And so we really do not know who the parents were. This was the child born in Hindu family, left near the lake, which is still existing. There was a Muslim woman who was passing by. She was greatly attracted by this child, picked up the child, and it was taken home. It was brought up in the Muslim family. Born as a Hindu, but brought up in a Muslim family. An unlettered man. He was not educated in the sense in which we understand education. Probably he never went to a school. He had no teacher who could teach him. He was an unlettered man, but a remarkable man, absolutely remarkable man. He was brought up in a weaver's family in Banaras, Varanasi. You still find a large community of weavers. On the road, on the street, they go on weaving beautiful Varanasi saris. Varanasi is known for its saris, beautiful saris. Kabir also had done this weaving, probably like many other weavers, sitting on the road in the open and weaving these beautiful saris. But while weaving these saris, this man, Kabir, he burst out into songs, into poems, into couplets. And these songs and couplets are of such immense depth that probably no philosopher could have gone beyond the teaching that Kabir gave. We will come to some of the teachings of Kabir today in few of the songs. But as I said, Kabir was a remarkable man. It is said, there is a story from the life of Kabir, that a man once came to Kabir's house, knocked at the door. Kabir was not at home, his wife was there. So his wife opened the door. And this man who had come said, "I want to meet Kabir." The wife said, "But Kabir is not at home." But he said, "It's very urgent, I must meet him immediately. Please tell me where he is." So the wife said, "If it is very urgent, then go and I tell you that he has gone to the cremation ground. Somebody has been dead and he has gone there for his burial. And therefore, if it is very urgent, you must meet Kabir immediately, you had better go to the cremation ground." So this man said, "All right, I'll go because it's very urgent." But he said, "But how will I recognize Kabir? I will go there, but there will be so many people. They must have come for the cremation of the individual who is dead. In the midst of all these people, how shall I recognize Kabir? Because I have never met him." So the wife said, "It's very simple. Those who would have gathered at the cremation ground, most of them must be looking very sad, either in tears or in a state of mourning, sad, weeping. If you find in the midst of all that crowd of those who are mourners, weeping with sad faces, if you find an individual who is smiling in the midst of them, then take it that that is Kabir. In the midst of these weeping people, if you find somebody who is smiling at the cremation ground, you can take it that is Kabir." That was Kabir. Kabir was a person of a remarkable talent, remarkable expression in language, remarkable so far as his insight was concerned. And Kabir has discussed many, many questions. For example, in order to understand the spiritual perspectives, very often, most often, we think that I must find out a guru, a teacher, because otherwise, how will it be possible for me to tread the spiritual path? Now, among various other subjects, Kabir has discussed this. Kabir has discussed this question of guru, that who is the guru on whom you can depend? He says, and the couplet will be recited, sung now, he says that all the gurus that you come across are the gurus who have remained within their limits. And they have seen that their disciples also do not cross over the limits, within the limits. The limits of their own interest, the limits of their own teaching, the limits of their own concept. He says, this is the nature of the guru, that every guru keeps you within the limits. But there is a guru, the real guru, who transcends the limits, who goes beyond the limits. And he induces his disciples also to go beyond limits. He says, "Kabir, I am that. I move in the open. I accept no boundaries. I move in the open. I move in the open fields. And therefore, those who are prepared to go with me, they must remember that they are moving into an unsheltered space. There is no shelter whatsoever, without any shelter in the open spaces. There are various descriptions of the Guru that are given by Kabir. He says, you will find gurus, teachers, who will utter some sacred word in your ears, privately. Nobody listens to it, nobody can listen to it. He says, you will find such gurus, such teachers, who will just utter a word, some sacred word, in your ear. He says, these are the gurus on whom do not depend very much. The real guru is one who tells the pupils that if you are prepared to put your home on fire, set fire to your home, if you are prepared to do it, then come with me. I am asking you to set your home on fire. He didn't say set your house on fire, set your home on fire. Because it is easy to have the house set on fire. Particularly if it is insured, it's quite easy, you can do it. But he didn't talk of the house, he talked of the home. The home which is the center of attachments, set fire to it. If you are prepared to do it, then come with me. Otherwise, don't come. I'm not a guru, I'm not a teacher who is going to keep you within the sheltered limits of any particular thing. I break down all shelters, all homes, and therefore, if you are prepared to do it, come with me. Kabir has given many examples. He says, for example, diamonds are not found in heaps. There are not heaps of diamonds. Diamonds, as you know, they are found very rarely, and they are within certain rocks. If you can discover, then you have discovered the diamonds. The diamonds are not to be found in heaps. He says the sandalwood, the fragrant sandalwood trees, also do not grow in rows. Lions do not move in herds. You will not find herds of lions. Lions do not move in herds. He says, the real teacher is he who has no followers whatsoever. He does not build up his followers. He who builds up his followers is a teacher about whom you should be warned, because the real teacher is one who never builds up his following. This is what Kabir says in his couplets. We shall listen to these couplets. We shall listen to the song appropriate so far as this description of the teacher is concerned. But you will see how revolutionary this man was, that a teacher without followers. He always used to say that there cannot be any followers. We had in our midst in recent times such a teacher in the person of J. Krishnamurti, who had no followers. And Kabir was of that line, born 500 years ago, but he was the person who never built up the followers. Unfortunately, there are many, many cults that have grown up round about Kabir, as perhaps there will be cults that will grow up round about Krishnamurti also. But both these teachers, I am saying this because these two teachers are comparable to each other, both these teachers, they said, no following whatsoever, stand on your own, self-reliance, that you can work out your own salvation. Your salvation is not in the hands of anybody. You may meet with people, but these are the gurus who are like the fingers pointing the way. When Buddha was about to pass away, the disciples started weeping, said, Lord, you will go away, then who will guide us? Then Buddha said that teachers are only the fingers pointing the way. This was what Kabir said. This is what Krishnamurti said, that they just point to the fingers. If you are interested, go along this road. The going is in your hands. I'm only pointing the finger. The pointing of the finger is the only thing that a real teacher does And we shall see this beautifully expressed in his couplets and in the song to which we shall be listening.
The couplets have been already explained to all of us. The song which I shall sing has a very beautiful theme. Kabir says, "Who is that teacher who is acceptable to me?" He did not say that I do not want any teacher, but who is that guru? Who is that teacher whom I can accept? And he gives a very fine example, and he says, "The teacher who has drunk at the fountain of truth and love," not just truth, but the teacher who has drunk at the fresh waters of truth and love, it is such a teacher whom I revere, whom I respect. And the teacher who helps me to open my eyes, who does not want that I should go behind him in a blind manner, but who helps me to open my eyes and also who helps me to go beyond, to beyond the word, beyond the mental thinking. This is the main idea that one finds in the song which I shall sing. To start with, I shall sing the couplets about the guru, that a real guru is one who does not give mantra, whisper mantra in the ear, but who helps the pupils to come out in the open spaces. The real guru is one who does not want disciples and followers, and who does not establish ashram. He has used that word, jamaat. Jamaat means who does not have his own center or his own ashram. He is alone. Hada hada pare sabhi gaya, hada hada pare sabhi gaya, behad gaya na kya, behad ke maidan mein rame kabira fan phuka guru had ka behad ka guru behad ka guru jab mile kabira khada bajar mein. This couplet says that kabira khada bajar mein. Kabir is standing in the marketplace, not in a shelter place, but in a marketplace with a torch in his hand. And then he says, as was explained, that whoever is prepared to set fire to his home, to the centers of identification, attachment, let that man come with me. That requires courage. Kabira khada bajar mein liye jo ghar phuke चले हमारे साथ। हीरों की उम्र नहीं, मलया गिर नहीं पाती, साधु न चले जमा साधु सतगुरु महिमावे, साधु सतगुरु सत्य प्रेम हर हर प्याला। In Sanskrit, the word for truth is satya, and for love, prema. Satya prema ka bhar bhar pyala, satya prema ka bhar bhar pyala, satya prema भर भर प्यारा, आप पीवे मोहे पिलावे, आप पीवे मोहे पिलावे, सो सतगुरु महिमावे, साधु सो सतगुरु परदा दूर करे आँखें लगा, परदा दूर करे आँखें लगा, ब्रह्म दर्श दिखलावे, जिस दर्श में सब सबलोक दरसे, अनहद नाद सुनावे, अनहद नाद सुनावे, साधुओं सो सतगुरु महिमावे, साधु सो सतगुरु महिमावे।
Kabir's main emphasis was that truth, reality is just in front of you. You don't have to go anywhere else. But there is a veil that has been cast. Who has cast that veil? The mind has cast. The mind with its so-called cleverness has woven a veil. The veil has been cast. And therefore, you are not able to see what is. And you go out in search of that which is in just in front of you. It is this idea that you find in one of the Upanishads, where the Upanishad says that the face of truth has been covered over by a golden veil. Remove that veil. And here and now, at this very moment, you will have the perception of truth. In one of the songs of Kabir, which we shall listen to presently, Kabir speaks about knowledge. And he says in that song, beware of scholars. Beware of those people who say they know. Beware of them, because they are dangerous people. Why are they dangerous people? Because they want us to believe that the word is the thing. The word is the thing. The word sugar is not sugar. If that were the case, we can go on repeating the word sugar and our mouth will be sweetened. The mouth doesn't get sweetened by uttering the word sugar. And therefore, these scholars, these people of knowledge, they say that the word is the thing. They want us to believe that the word is the thing. God, the word God is not God. The word truth is not truth. In other words, it is not based on realization. It is not based on direct perception. And therefore, beware of these so-called wise people, because they are deceiving you. They want you to believe in the word and miss the direct perception of things. This is what he says, and this is what we shall listen to, because this is a very important song so far as Kabir is concerned. Beware of scholars and the so-called wise people, because they are confusing you. They are putting you in greater and greater confusion, because the word is not the thing. But for us, the word is the thing. I know. How do you know? You know the word. You have information about the word. But we think that the information is wisdom. We were speaking yesterday about distinction between information, knowledge, and wisdom. But he says, we very often believe, because we know the word, because we know many words, and because we know many words, we think that we have known. We have only information. Information about God is not the realization of God. That is what Kabir wants to place before us, that we have gathered information, lots of information. And today we live in a civilization where there is more and more information that is given. But information is not knowledge. It is not wisdom. And Kabir says, I'm warning you, because this is the misleading practice indulged in by the so-called wise people, so-called scholars. This he has given us in one of his beautiful songs.
In one of the couplets, Kabir has given, or rather ridiculed, make fun of people who study. And he says that those people who are students, no, the present company is always accepted. So, that those who read and write, those who read, they are like stones. He has used the word stone. And those who write may be little better. They are like bricks. They are not as hard as stones, but they are like bricks. But he says, who is a real scholar? Who is a real man of knowledge? And he says that one who knows the word, who has experienced prema. Prema means 2.5 syllable. In Sanskrit, if you write prema, it is only 2.5 syllable, not much. But who has understood the secret of this 2.5 syllable, the word prema, he is a real man of wisdom or man of knowledge. I shall sing that couplet and also the song about which the explanation has been given. Jhutha means it is rubbish. Actually, the word jhutha means it is rubbish. Those scholars who talk, this is all rubbish. Vada vadante jhutha pandita, vada vadante jhutha pandita, vada vadante jhutha. Rama kaya duniya gati pani, Rama kaya duniya gati pani, har kaya mukh mitha pandit, vada vadante jhutha pandit, vada vadante jhutha. पावक गज पाव जे पावक गज पाव जे दाछे जल कहि तृषा बुझाई भोजन गया भूख दे भाजे भोजन गया भूख दे भाजे उस बंदोई जाए वाद बदलते झूठा पंडित वाद बदलते पड़ी के पत्थर भया लिखी भया जोई कहे कबीरा प्रेम की कहे कबीरा प्रेम की लगी
So here, Kabir tells us that the gathering, the collection of information, the accumulation of information is not knowledge. The man of knowledge is not one who accumulates. He may read books, but we must understand one thing, that he alone has the capacity to learn who also knows how to unlearn. Learning is not possible if it is not associated with unlearning. But we seem to be gathering knowledge. We become moving encyclopedias, so that you put any question, yes, I have an answer to it. In other words, I have information about it. We move about with more and more information, and we think that we are very knowledgeable people. We are wise people. We are not wise people. Just as Kabir speaks about that. Kabir speaks about devotion also. Because he was a person who transcended all the three paths. The path of knowledge, the path of devotion, the path of action. Who was about three attributes. Just as in the Bhagavad Gita, the disciple Arjuna is told by the teacher Shri Krishna, Arjuna, rise above all the three attributes. The attribute of inertia, the attribute of activity, the attribute of synthesis. Rise above three attributes. Because whatever you do under the influence of these attributes is something that is not true. In fact, it is not something which has been found in the glowing atmosphere of freedom. And therefore, having spoken about this knowledge, he is not talking of the wise man. Kabir has not derided the wise man. Kabir says so-called wise man is the person who has acquired knowledge, who has read many books. I'm not suggesting that you should not read books, because I'm myself writing many books and I would like people to purchase. So it is not a question of not reading books. But the reading of books, the gathering of information, must not produce a heavy weight of acquisition. one must be able to unlearn, constant unlearning. The person who is constantly unlearning, he alone is in a position to learn afresh. Similarly, Kabir speaks about man of devotion, man of virtues, the man of many virtues. But as one of the theosophical manuals, Light on the Path, very rightly says, that the vices of the ordinary man get transformed and appear in the so-called disciple. The vices of the ordinary man. Why? Because the so-called man, the so-called spiritual man, has only put on a new garb. New clothes he has put on. But inside those clothes is the same person. And therefore, Kabir says that the path of devotion is a very, very difficult path. Don't think that it is easy, that the path of knowledge is difficult and the path of devotion easy. The path of devotion is not easy, because he says path of devotion is such that there are very, very subtle aspects. The subtle aspects of the weaknesses and the vices appear. And one is likely to overlook these subtle things. One is likely to go about with a change of behavior patterns. We have discussed this. That spiritual perspective is not changing the behavior patterns. It's easy. Oh, so far I was doing this. I was given to smoking. I don't say that you must not smoke. But you are given to smoking. Now I have changed. There is no smoking, but I have taken to some other habits. So we go on moving from habit to habit. And we think that our habits are not habits, it is something finer and finer and finer. And we mistake these things and say, we have changed ourselves. We have hardly changed ourselves. There is no change. There is a change in habit pattern. And therefore Kabir says, find out where is your devotion. Your devotion, is it superficial? Are you content to bring about outer changes? Or has the transformation gone deep down so that you are a transformed individual? In the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, the Yoga Aphorisms, Patanjali speaks about it. Patanjali says that the real transformation comes not by the effort of the mind. The mind cannot bring about inner transformation. Mind can bring about changes in the outer patterns of life. But Patanjali says that the real transformation comes when there is an overflow. In our life there is no overflow at all. Krishnamurti in one of the interviews discusses this question. He says that one day three or four people came to see me. They were great experts. One was a scientist, the other was an engineer, the third was a specialist along another line, and they came to see me. And they talked of their specialization. They talked and talked and talked, but there was no overflow. Remember, the land becomes rich because of the overflow of the river. When the river overflows and when the silt settles down, then the soil becomes very rich. But he said, these were experts and we are living in an age of... Remember, the land becomes rich because of the overflow of the river. When the river overflows and when the silt settles down, then the soil becomes very rich. But he said, these were experts. And we are living in an age of specialists, more specialists. One definition of specialist has been given very rightly, that who is a specialist? A specialist is one who knows more and more about less and less. One who knows more and more about less and less. We are becoming strangers to life. Life is a very vast thing. We have picked up only one little branch of life. and we go on specializing, go on, go further and further into it, investigate it, but we remain absolutely ignorant so far as the vast life is concerned. And therefore, Kabir speaks about this specialist, and Kabir speaks about the man of devotion, that the man of devotion is not one who is concerned with the changes in the outer pattern. There are very, very subtle things. We do not realize how those subtle things cling to us. And because they cling to us, they pollute us. Because anything that clings pollutes. What is the difference between something that is pure and something that is impure? That thing which goes on with certain amount of clinging that has taken place. But the man, the really pure man is, nothing clings to him. He clings to nothing and nothing clings to him. That is the real characteristic of innocence. Innocence means nothing that is clinging. I go through life. I go through many experiences of life. But nothing clings to me. I remain absolutely pure and innocent because I cling to nothing, nothing clings to me. But this requires going deep into oneself. And it is only when one has gone into these subtle aspects of life, then one can say that he knows what devotion is. Because devotion is the removal of all those subtle clingings, the subtle attachments that take place. I may be attached to something so-called good, but that is also an attachment. Man who is completely free from all attachments, it is that man who can be called the man of devotion, and it is about this man of devotion that Kabir speaks as strongly as he has spoken about the man of knowledge.
Once again, I shall start my song with a couplet. In this couplet, which is the highest, which expresses the highest and the deepest spirit of devotion, this is what Kabir says. When I am there, God is not. Where God is, I am not. Because he identifies God with love. He says that path of love is so narrow that only one can tread upon that path. Either I tread or God walks on that path. Then the song which has been explained about the devotion. He says that subtle are the ways of devotion. There is not only no attachment, but he says there is no detachment either. It's very strange. Attachment, one can understand, no attachment, no identification, but also no detachment. Because very often we get attached to this idea that, oh, I'm not at all attached, I'm detached. So he says, neither attachment nor detachment. It's a beautiful song. The words are very, very beautiful. You have understood the general theme of the song. जब मैं हरि नाही हरि मीन्स गॉड व्हेन आई एम देयर गॉड इज नॉट जब मैं हरि नाही जब हरि है मैं नाही अति साकरी यामे द्वयेन समाही भक्ति कमार जीना रे जीना
nahi achah nahi chahna, nahi achah nahi chahna, charanan lauri na re lina, charanan lauri na re lina, jina re jina, jina re jina, bhakti ka marg, bhakti ka marg, bhakti ka marg, jina re jina, jina re jina. साधन के रस धार में रहे निस दिन भीना, साधन के रस धार में रहे निस दिन भीना, राग में श्रुत वैसे बसे, राग में श्रुत वैसे बसे, जैसे जल में
we have become familiar during these 6 days about the ways of the mind. We know that the way of the mind is the way of choice between either this or this. The either or movement is the movement of the mind. It says, all right, I will not touch this, I will touch this. And therefore the mind all the time moves with this process of choice, either this or this. But the path of spiritual perspective is a path which is not the path of either or. It is the path of neither this nor that. If you say either or, then you have some ground to stand. But the way of the spirit is neither this nor that. Neither this, neither attachment nor detachment. Then what? One might say, if you say you should not be attached, then all right, I am detached. If you say you should not be detached, then I am attached. But the way of the spirit is neither attachment nor detachment. That is what the Bhagavad Gita says. The Bhagavad Gita says at one place that neither acceptance nor rejection. This is what Krishnamurti used to talk about. Neither justification nor condemnation. In other words, mind has no ground to stand upon. And where the mind has no ground to stand upon, it is there that the way of spirituality comes. Where the mind has no ground to stand, when both these things have been put away, when either or has been put away, and neither this nor there has come into existence, then we are no longer in the field of choice. In fact, we are on the ground of a paradox. Spirituality is full of paradox, and mind cannot solve a paradox. It is not within the power of the mind to solve the paradox. How can you solve it? When you say neither this nor that, neither attachment nor detachment, then the mind says, I can't understand it. And therefore the mind is completely baffled. Mind is unable to move further because of this idea of the paradoxes. You will find in all the deeper aspects of every religion, whether Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, wherever you go, the deeper aspects of every religion contain these paradoxes. And these paradoxes, as I said, cannot be solved by the mind. The mind goes back. The mind says, I cannot make out anything out of this, because you do not allow me to stand anywhere. And therefore, the paradox is something from where the mind returns. And it is from where the mind returns, it is there that the life of the spirit begins. Kabir speaks about this. Kabir says to a traveler on the spiritual path, traveler, where are you going? Where do you want to go? You say you want to go beyond, but there is nothing like beyond. There is no way, there is no wayfarer, there is nowhere to go. And therefore Kabir says, if you listen to me, then my advice to you is, stand still where you are. Going beyond the mind, but going beyond the mind doesn't mean going somewhere else, because that somewhere else also is the journey of the mind. Kabir says, stay still wherever you are. It is not the question of staying still merely in the physical sense. Keep your mind completely quiet. It is when the mind does not move at all, when the mind has found that there is no further ground because of the paradox, where in front of the paradox the mind has totally become silent. Kabir says to the spiritual aspirant, I tell you, stay where you are. And if you can stay where you are, you will be able to find all that you want to achieve in life. This is the instruction that Kabir gives, the instruction of a quiet mind, of a silent mind, where not only there is no movement of the body, but far more than that, there is no movement of the mind. In fact, one must understand the real characteristic, the real nature of a spiritual man. The spiritual man is alone, but he is not lonely. He is alone, but he is not lonely. There is a vast difference between aloneness and loneliness. Lonely person is one who says, oh, everybody has gone. I'm just left here by myself. All my friends have gone. All whom I love have gone. And therefore, there is nobody. And that is why I'm lonely. Loneliness is where a person is bereft of the company of other people. That is what loneliness is. But aloneness is completely different. Aloneness is being bereft of the company of our own thoughts. To be free from the company of others, that gives us a sense of loneliness. But to be free from the company of our own thoughts, in other words, this is not a physical process. Loneliness is a physical process. But aloneness is an inner state, where I am completely free from my own thoughts, where all thoughts have been put aside, where there is no movement of thought at all, because no thought has any place where I stand. That is the condition of aloneness. A spiritual man is alone. In the midst of hundreds of people, he is alone. Because aloneness does not demand that you go and shut yourself up in a cave or in a room and close the doors. That is not what is called aloneness. One can be alone in the midst of the crowds of people. One can move about and yet one can be alone. In other words, one can be free from one's own thoughts. And because one is free from the thoughts, one is ready to receive whatever life gives. The verse that was sung in the beginning, from the Ishavasya Upanishad, which is one of the oldest of the Upanishads. In the Ishavasya Upanishad it is said, this whole world is full of reality. God resides everywhere. He is everywhere. There is not a spot where you will not find it. But then the second line of this particular verse says that accept whatever He gives. Because He, God in His kindness, in His compassion, has left something for you. Although this is a world that is moving very, very fast. In this fast-moving world, God has left something for you. God has left something for each one of us. He says, enjoy it. But we don't. We say, oh, God has given me this, but He has given something more to the other person. The other person has received much more than I have. And therefore, I do not even look at what life has given me. This Upanishad says, just look at what life has given you. Life has given you everything. Whatever you need, that is given to you. If you have the eyes to see, if you can know what perception is, if you have come to the right perception, then you will see everything in what life has given you. But we don't see. Because the mind says, accept this, reject this. And in this acceptance and rejection, we never look at what life has given us. Life has given everything. And therefore, this particular verse of the Upanishad says, accept, receive what life has given you. Don't covet other people's possessions. The other people may need those things. You don't need. Life has given you according to your requirement. But we do not see in life, in the circumstances which life has given. There is all that life can give us. But if only we know how to look, the spiritual man looks, sees, perceives. He does not struggle in order to go here, there, and everywhere. He is not going after so-called gurus and teachers. He is not going after things. He stands still and finds out what is it that the life has given. And in the very observation of that life, in that perception of the life, he finds his way. Life shows the way. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, life shows the way. But we don't. We are walking and we say, oh, what shall I do? Now there is a hill, a mountain has come suddenly. How shall I cross it? And therefore, I blame what has come. But if I look at the mountain, if I look at the mountain, the hill itself tells us, go roundabout. This is the way. And therefore, instead of just saying, why has this come, why has this come, why has this come, life shows us the way. But we are unable to look at that way because we never see what is given to us. We are all the time aspiring. Kabir says, if you take my advice, don't go. There is nowhere to go. There is no bridge. There is no river. There is no other side. There is no other shore. There is nothing at all. That all these are mere projections of the mind. If you take my advice, I am telling you, stand still where you are and you will find all that require because life is very generous and life is prepared to give to you generously. In other words, Kabir talks of beyond the mind, beyond the confines of the mind, beyond the choices of the mind, beyond the duality of the mind. He talks of something which is the experience of the non-dual because it has transcended all the aspects of duality. Kabir has given this in one of his very beautiful songs. We shall listen to that song and with that song we shall bring this particular talk to a close. We have seen what spiritual perspective is and spiritual perspective is the keynote so far as this seminar is concerned. Let us brood over it. I'm sure we will meet again. And when we meet again, we shall compare notes. What have we done? How far we have gone? How deep have we gone to our understanding? Because it is by only such comparing of notes that it is possible for us to find the way in the midst of all the confusions of life. And so Kabir says, if you take my advice, I'm telling you, stand still where you are because there is nowhere to go. Where you go is only the projections of the mind and therefore you will be still caught in those projections of the mind. My advice to you is stand still where you are.
The song where Kabir says, stand still where you are, will be sung. But what happens? After that, what is there beyond? Is there something beyond? Kabir conveys that also. Yes, it is only when you go beyond that love is born. There are very, very beautiful couplets by Kabir about love. Generally, this saint Kabir, this mystic, was regarded as a mystic of knowledge, that he was treading the path of knowledge. He was not a devotee. But if you read his songs about devotion, if you can understand the ideas that he has given through his couplets about love, then we will realize that a spiritual man is not just a man of knowledge, but he is a man of love.
Love is not the product of the mind. Love arises only when the mind ceases. And that is why Kabir says, go beyond the mind. And you can go beyond the mind when mind is still. It is only then, it is in the still mind, in the silent mind, that love is born. In the mind which is struggling after its own aspirations and ambitions is not the mind that knows love. Love arises in the mind which is completely silent and completely quiet. Go beyond the mind. That is what Kabir indicates in this particular song.
Now come the couplets of Kabir about prema, about love.
Sabairasayana mai kiya prema prema sab koi kahe prema na chine आठ पहरे भी ना रहे प्रेम कहावे सो या घट प्रेम न करे सो घट या
about love, Kabir says, that I have followed so many disciplines to tread the spiritual path, but there is only one discipline which has really helped me to go along the path, and that is what he calls the discipline of love. It's only through this love, the experience of love, that I have gone on the spiritual path, because the path of love is so narrow that either I can walk or God can walk.
Sabe rasayana mai kiya sabe rasayana mai तन में संच रति के तन में संच
सब तन कंचन एक्सपीरियंस ऑफ लव brings about a total transformation in the life of the individual.
And so the spiritual perspective is the perspective that comes in the silence of the mind. The spiritual man is alone, but not lonely at all. And it is with this that we shall close this seminar of ours. We have discussed many things in the course of these 6 days. I'm sure some of these things we shall from time to time recapitulate. And in this recapitulation, perhaps we may discover some more things which we have not known about so far. And therefore, I'm sure we go away from this seminar nearer that transformation which gives us spiritual perspective. Let us move about in life as we must. But while moving about in life, let us know the state of aloneness which is completely free from the feeling of loneliness. Thank you very much.
Close this week with words of thanks. Thanks to you, and thanks to you, who is helping me. The hungry people, the young people, the real work, as you said already, has to be done in silence. But we are very happy that you have given us so many beautiful words so that we can meet ourselves.
Thank you. And thank you very much. Thank you, all of you.
प्रभु का नाम जप मन प्रभु का नाम मन दूर करे वही संकट तेरे दूर करे वही संकट तेरे प्रभु का प्रभु का नाम जपो
बसेरा है All the time I was singing those songs, which was a prayer to Ram. Now the next time, next one, I'm going something from Krishna, if I may allow. Yeah.